Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, partner, how you doing?
Good, good, very good. So happy Saturday evening.
I am too. I am too. We're going to have to go analog this this show. All the little songs, all the little snippets and everything. There's a spot sitting there that says upload audio for your episode. I said, Miss Blog Talk Lady, I asked the baby, I ain't about to fight with you. We can go analog. We got the.
Look, I know how to get a phone with a cord on it.
Yeah, I got the best drop specialist this side of the Mason-Dixon. So I am not worried about that. I take them eyes every rip.
Let's go.
All right. You care to do the first drop so we can go ahead and commence with the show?
Well, yeah, I would love to commence with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we just appreciate you calling in to Epiphany Universe this evening at 319-527-6300, because you could have been doing anything with your evening, but you decided to come here and kick it with just Jay and James Storm. This is the show. We appreciate you coming through. This is not the rehearsal. This is the show. So let's get it.
I see, that's what I'm talking about right there. I can run into war with that any day.
Let's get it. It's the show.
This is the show. Man, how have you been doing, Gina?
I've been good. I love the weekends because that's basically when I get the majority of my poeting in. So I look forward to everything that happens over here in the Epiphany Universe, everything that we do on Clubhouse over at the Small House of Poetry. Writing new pieces, usually the best time for me to be creative is on the weekend. Whether or not I have the kids doesn't matter because they're inspirational as well. But as usual, they had plans and a life that I just don't seem to have any part of. You know, they will pencil me in at some date, I'm sure. But
right. Has Josh got his biweekly haircut yet?
Yeah, well, he's due for his next haircut next Saturday, so we'll see if he has to skip again because he's too busy to make it to the shop.
I know. You know, they grow up so fast on us, you know?
I know. I look forward to them not being babies, but I really need them to slow it down. But
yeah.
It's good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So I was thinking maybe we could have a little talk about some of the things that have changed throughout the generations. And one of the things that bothered me the most is just like when you were playing Jill Scott, people aren't having romance. They're having hookups. They don't slow dance. There are no love songs that you can use the lyrics to so you can woo someone of the opposite sex. So how do we get back to that? Or is it lost? Is that gone? Am I talking crazy? Is that no more? I'm just wondering what everybody's thinking.
You know what? I can't wait to get off into this right here.
I think we should.
This is something that's very true and dear to my heart.
Waiting for us. So, yeah, I just want to pose a question. What are we going to do, y'all? Is Roma instead, or can we do something to keep it alive? Because I know what I like, and I'm not seeing any of it.
No, I'm not either. And, you know, it's not about being old-fashioned. I'm all down with things moving forward, you know, with the change that comes with that. But sometimes we have to go ahead and examine if that step forward is actually helping us or hurting us, or our relationship with the next generation. How can we go ahead and mend that so that we can even go ahead and pass on some of the old fogey wisdom on to them? You know, because right now there is a definite gap there.
Absolutely.
All right. We have a couple of hands up, Gina.
I think we should get to the callers and see what say they.
What say they? All right, let's go ahead and go with this hand here. This is the hand we had seen here in the very beginning. We'll be right with you, 540.
Hello.
How you doing, brother? You all right?
Yeah. I had the speaker muted. I was taking my boots off.
You had a couple of struggles going at once, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right, Sir Senator Spittle, did you hear the question that I posed with my partner, Jared? We're wondering if there's something that we can do to bridge the gap between our generation and the younger generations and bring back romance.
You're teaching about art. Art defines romance. Art is beauty and bartenders.
What kind of art are you talking about, brother?
Art, you know, classic art, you know, contemporary art, you know, paintings, you know, not just digital shit. Something you can go in a museum and sit and observe and the strokes and see the motions and
right.
contemplate, you know, what exactly was going on and experience it, you know.
I like that. I'm glad you went ahead and broke that down for us, bro.
That's what I want to do. I'm going to start it, you know, a nonprofit to get kids into that shit. I mean, the poetry and art, painting.
Are people nowadays susceptible to that?
But that's the answer, dude. Art, man. Art's years old.
All right. What do you think about that, Gina, the whole angle of using art to go ahead and break through that ice?
That did not occur to me. And when he said that, mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know what? I remember some of the most beautiful paintings that I ever saw were depicting romance or courtship or chivalry or just artist himself or herself embodied what love looked like to them.
Right. I mean, a lot of times it'd be a man dying for a woman, in which that's something that I think that's so far removed that, you know, I think women would feel safer if they felt like a man would give their life for them.
Yeah, I don't know if that exists any longer, but what I do know is museums will close if, like Sister Spittle said, people are always concerned with something digital and not actually going into the buildings, sitting there with the statues and the paintings and the sculptures and all the things that we grew up seeing as we grew up as children. Field trips included museum visits and not just, you know, amusement parks. Yeah, so I like that a lot.
You know what, Sinister, would it make me think of the type of conversations that would be sparked from being in an environment like that and sharing the exercise like that with each other? That's pretty clever.
Going in front of the painting, you know, in front of whatever art captures your attention is like picking up that favorite book for the first time. And it's an adrenaline rush. Your imagination is everywhere. And everybody can feed off of that, you know, and delve into, you know, the experience of it all, the emotion that's brought out by it, that's embedded in her life, you know. The vibrancy, there's something tangible you just can't replace.
All right, brother. I'll tell you what. I appreciate the conversation that we were able to go ahead and spurn out of this. Do you have a piece for us tonight?
Yeah, I do. I'm writing a lot. Brand new piece, but I don't want to do that one. I'm going to do this piece I've only shared like once or twice. And I was that kid in the art museum standing in front of that painting going, hey, you know, this is what I think they were trying to do. And, you know, 7 or 8 years old, fuck, you know, fuck's a flag, dude. I'm going to go to the museum. You know, Chinese garden and all that stuff. And go and get parked. That's life. That's energy. So, you know, and that's a lot of my work is, you know. What I try to do when I write, you know, I want to express raw beautifully. This is failures or happenstance.
Let's get you the mic first. 1 second, let's go ahead and get you the mic, bro. So you can take full command of this stage, brother. That being said, sir, the mic is yours.
feathers or happenstance? Where is the epicenter of failure? In quietest, noons, frantically, glaring eyes and shadows kisses, lead reflections of purest evolution. My ship set course in rigorous munitions of self-deprecating assault. It's alert. Behavioral retardation, streaking birthday nuances, and ignorance of the literacy. Seek and destroy. Hot fusion, sound waves, screams, cognitive conundrums of where I'd like to see. Nihilistic annihilations, maniacal masochism, merely reeking fuckery, and delightful race. I am evil. I am sin. Born turnkey moonshine hymns of towns or golf derelicts, finding ways to eviscerate myself as redundancy martyr, like grounded adolescence, my ascension locked away. Utter disarray. Found the emerald glass, that smell of poppy vibrations to lessen the resolve of morons. Fast-handed to this weight and quicksand, I will dissolve my imperfections brittly. At last, sustenance devoured in falsetto of assertively consuming my preoccupied fears, alone, here. Lost, it appears, my once truculent demeanor under tattered flags burning by waves, crashing violently, my endurance and devastation's ripple, perplexed. Why not a graceful recognition to quell? Wasting and tension-filled, purpose-filled breath where ardently confusions are milked in my arrogance, so my sway leans perpendicular to rational masturbations of my theory on truth and fire neglect, welk, and wheeze. Seems my seams are dissolving into bitterness again. Dumbfounded and uncontent and pastel debauchery to endure. Like holy flesh crucified, I rise another day, embracing on a surrealistic pilgrimage of sin. Beautiful deviances are so becoming. Enamored, I delve into the bliss of being lost amongst it. The voidless transitions keep me from plummeting into pathological gaps of endless colors I regret. I ingest thoughtless bottle figures from my soul to hijack and infect the chasms of happenstance, of awkward breathing, and peace.
All right, now, that's how you started off. That was
go ahead.
Oh, there was a line in there. He had said perpendicular to. Can you run that, the perpendicular to line back?
I had to really use the whole thing. Okay. My endurance and devastation's ripple perplex. Why not an embraceful recognition to quell? Wasting intention-filled, purpose-filled breaths were ardently. Confusions are milked in my arrogance, so my sway leans perpendicular to rational masturbations of my theory on truth and dire neglect, wealth, and wheeze.
Dire neglect. Ooh, that got me. Yeah, that one hit hard. I'm sorry, Jay. I didn't want to lose it, and I had to say it while it was still fresh in my mind. Thank you, Sinister. Go ahead, Jack.
There was so many of them that he had did, Gina. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and mention this one. I just got to the point where I just said, like, I need to just, like, really take it in, what you're doing. Because if you just try to go ahead and parcel out what you do with your pieces, Sinister, you kind of take something away from it. The same way, like, when you had to read that piece, you had to go ahead and start at a certain point. You just couldn't jump out in front of it a little bit. You had to go to a certain point because it's all a scene that you'd be setting up. You do it well. And one of your lines you had screamed, I am sin. Were you referring to yourself or were you referring to an affliction.
No, yeah, I am evil, I am sin, born turnkey moonshine, hens, the town called derelicts. Not referring to myself. And it's kind of like, it's kind of fueled also by, like, at the time when I wrote this, that's where the Seek and Destroy comes in. I was listening to Metallica, it was like on full blast and background, and these thoughts were racing in my head as I was taking a shower, and I was trying to perceive this, you know, idea of failure and how to overcome it, and how I, you know, how I am overcoming it, and how I would state it. And, you know, yeah, no, I am evil. I am sin. You know, because that's what everybody sees. Whatever. It's smooth to Metallica at the same time. It's a fuck you to the stereotypical bullshit that I endure. But then again. I'm glad you pointed out, because that was pointed out the first time I shared it too, because it goes into to say, you know, finding ways to eviscerate myself from as redundancy as a martyr, like grounded adolescence, my sense of lost away. So at the same time, I guess it's also like, you know, stating like, you know, I'm no longer a bitch.
I get that. Absolutely. Yeah, you had a lot going on in that piece, but it was heavy, but it was clear, and that's what I like. Yeah, that was.
I love that. I heard clear when someone's speaking of me. Thank you.
It meant the world to me.
I'm working very hard on that.
It's hard for me to digest, and sometimes your poetry can be so vibrantly descriptive. I can't retain enough of it. But this time, yeah, it was real clear, and all the bits and pieces that I could, I held on to. So I appreciate that one. That was, and a lot of it had to do with your read as well.
We appreciate you coming in here, bro, and taking the show out for us.
I appreciate it. I love being the bull in the China shop.
All right, man.
You guys.
Yes, sir. We're also looking forward to seeing you over at the Small House of Poetry, too.
I came in today at the end of the kitchen, man, and like right at the beginning of the last round, and I couldn't get up, and I had to go with the kids.
The kitchen got out of hand today. The poetry was epic, man. The poetry was epic. All right, brother, we'll talk to you shortly. Gina.
Yeah, that's how you kick it off right there, Jay. I mean, no point in kind of sort of doing it. Just kick the door wide open and come on in and do your thing.
Hello, come on. Put your feet up.
Please, make yourself at home. Destroy what you like. We'll get more mics. No worries.
You know what, Gina? When I was coming up, I was always saying, like, see, I ain't going to be like my parents. I'm always going to understand what my kids is talking about.
That's cute. We didn't know any better.
No, didn't know any better. Oh,
we know better now, though.
Yeah, we know better now. Because and like I tell my children now, I said, you may feel that way today, but you won't be the same person next week. Definitely not a year from now. In 2 years from now, you'll be changed 2 to 3 times by that time. So we still have to try to get through to them because it could save them a lot of headache if they were going ahead and get some of that wisdom from people who didn't went through things that they don't believe is the same, although it may be dressed up and looks differently, but it's still always the same movement.
Like Sinister Spittle was saying about the museums and going out to see the arts, I know a lot of things that we did back in the day, you know, because we're so old, that didn't take batteries and didn't plug in and didn't have any, you know, buttons, knobs, or flashing lights. Like, I remember when we got Operation, you know, you would hit the side of like, the knee bone, so his nose would light up red and a little buzzer would go off. Woo, that was high-tech right there. Remember Perfection when you would wind it? Try to put all the pieces in before the spring pops up. Ah, you couldn't tell me nothing when
my
I beat it.
My board game is interactive.
So that was, to us, an upgrade. Sometimes you were saying the same thing about technology or keeping up with the times. Sometimes change the times. We're changing with the times. Sure, this is the evolution every day. You know, we're getting older. We're learning more. We're being exposed to more. But I don't know if it's all good, you know. So we got to brainstorm and come up with some ideas how we can keep these kids on track and make sure that they're still able to function in the event, you know, like the internet crashed or, you know, heaven forbid, they couldn't stream their shows or use their phones. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely something that we constantly deal with, whether we know it or not, whether we have children or not. It's something we constantly deal with to be able to get through to these children. And also for them to be able to get through to us as well. It's not just a one-way street.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
I'm encouraging everybody today. Yeah, we're on the same page.
I was about to say, raise those hands so you can join in on the conversation, even if you don't have a piece to speak. But if you have poetry as well, we're here for it.
Yeah, it's a one area code out there I recognize that don't have their hand up. And I know they need their hand up because they're on the East Coast. Before we do that, I'm going to bring in 540.
How y'all doing, 10-4? What's up?
Oh, I recognize this voice. This is Al Roker.
I'm not complete. I mean, bald and, you know. I look
how
like
you
nothing like Al Walker.
How you doing, Automatic Charismatic? Yeah, all right, bro.
I'm doing fine. Doing fine, man. Just working. I just said
right,
that
you,
I was
you,
talking
you,
to my man, to my man Poet, and he told me it was a show tonight, you know. So I just parked. I wanted to do some poetry. You know, I do a lot of trucking, but I'm still a poet, you know.
Does poetry help you keep you focused on the road, man?
Yeah, somewhat. You know, it's always flowing through me when I'm driving a truck.
Yeah. I used to drive in between Nashville and Dallas, and it was always good to have the poetry going. But then after the poetry would go off, you know, it would still leave me with a little bit of a rush to go ahead and make it past some sticking points when I get tired out there on that road.
Well, it's funny how you say it. I'm going to be going through Tennessee and go through Kentucky.
All right, you be safe out there, man.
Yeah. John D, I went to sleep on it. You know, I feel so bad. I went to sleep last night on my man's show. You know what I mean? I said,
don't you feel bad about that, bro?
No, I
didn't
store on the show last
rest?
Night.
Yeah. If your body needs that rest, I'm a truck driver. I know that road can make you hallucinate if it catch you the right way. And you'll be seeing, Jack,
yeah.
You'll still be moving forward, but the part of the brain has been that fell asleep on you. So if you can't make it because you're trying to get some rest, sir, you do that every time.
Yeah. I've actually hallucinated before. That's when I pull off. That's when it's time to stop. When I start hallucinating, it's time to, it's definitely time to stop. Sometimes things look like it's there, but it's not, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's what your brain gets to a certain point where it says, well, you know what, I'm going to get some sleep with you or without you. And, you know, there's the other part of the brain, like, well, I'm just going to keep on doing what these guys say.
Yes.
But, yeah, if you have to get rest, brother, you always go ahead and get the rest because rest is at a premium for truck drivers.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to do, I stay in the shelter. I met some brothers who wanted to be truck drivers. So what I want to do is for those guys in the shelter that want to be truck drivers and stuff like that, I want to give them the information and help women and men that want to do this. And there's a way, you know, you could become a truck driver without any experience. You can get your experience and get paid, you know.
So, were these younger guys or older guys?
I talked to a younger guy. He wanted to be a truck driver.
What we're talking about today is bridging the gap, the generational gap. And it sounds like that you're already over in that area with what you were just telling us here. How do you feel about that as far as reaching out to the next generation and what type of techniques do you use in order to keep those lines of communication open?
I like to teach. I like to inspire, give the youth some type of inspiration. I learn a lot from young people. There's some things that, you know, I don't know that they know.
Right.
You're talking about coming up with the times. I'm working on a book on my formula. I want to help kids. My formula 91382 is something to help people study. I want to help the youth be able to make the honor roll, pass their tests without having to struggle.
Right.
You know,
things that I want to help with when I was coming up, and you probably put it on your own pool of things that as a young man would have been nice to have around. It's good that we try to fill in those gaps whenever we get to that point in our life. That's admirable, sir.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I've had talks with young people, college students. One college girl who talked to me, she said she had problems with studying and being focused. And what I did was I didn't push my formula on her. I wanted to actually listen to her and then say something, then make my presentation. Right. But I listened to me. If a youth tell me, oh, I'm having problems with studying and stuff like that, you know, I'll listen first, then, you know, come with a presentation. Because it's all about getting to know people as you interact with them.
Right. I've been a big advocate of that myself. If you watch these kids, sometimes these kids, just by something that they're doing naturally, you're like, all right, that's how I go ahead and do it. So you would go ahead and learn from even watching them play and do different things. Gina, how do you feel about that? You have grandchildren, rambunctious grandchildren.
I do. They're quite busy. I agree. I agree that. I'm going to be honest with you that we can't do enough. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Something else we can do because all three of them have an after-school program. All three of them have a sport. All three of them do something that's creative or artistic. And I still feel like I need to add to that when they're with me, and we need to make sure that they have enough things to keep them busy in the evening, on the weekend, and when school's out. So, yeah, that's a necessity. I've always put myself in a position to do some kind of mentorship or to speak to young people. I like love to read in the public library to small children. So these are all things that we can do. And to be of service is something that will also help these kids turn into better humans and not be so disconnected and so electronic. Yeah, that's what I got.
All right, freestyle queen.
If you say so.
Freestyle queen. You know you are. You know who. You know what. And then Gina come with that capacity. She come with that storyline capacity. Where she just freestyle like it's just. I don't know, like an actress. You know, just freestyle, just putting life in that poem. Put
Marina
life in that Dietrich. Poem. Freestyle.
I'm doing okay. Old school.
She was on a. She did a video of herself and told somebody, "I freestyle." Remember?
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah, I freestyle. She let it be known. What's up? Yeah, I freestyle. Yeah, that's me. Gina Storm.
Appreciate that. Oh my goodness.
I've heard Gina so many times freestyle, you know. I've heard her get gangster on the mic. I mean, whew.
Yeah. Sometimes it calls for that. Most people. See, I'm trying to be inspirational, but hey, you know, whatever the mood calls for.
She still be out here 187ing it up.
I don't start no fights, but I don't come from none either.
Exactly. But every week it seems like one being thrust at your way. There ain't nobody done nothing bad enough for you to go ahead and say, like, I'm about to get you now.
Oh, that's your perception of me. So, in being a role model and making
it's
for the next generation, I know Automatic Charismatic don't have to ask you if you brought us something because you came with them guns loaded so you can get your freestyle on.
Yeah. You know, one day I would love to work with this woman on a freestyle because she's my favorite lady freestylist.
Oh, she dope as I don't know what, man. Good call right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody, you know what? And let's keep it real funky. Everybody got favorites in poetry. You'd be lying if you say you didn't. I got favorites. I respect all poets. I respect poets. Don't get me wrong. But everybody got, it's just like you got a favorite singer. You know what I mean? You're going to have a favorite, you know? You know, so, yeah.
I was just giving you a hard time, bro. I feel you on that because there's certain people, and I ain't going to even call no names because it wouldn't be right, but there's certain people when they grab the mic, I just like everything just opens up like, let's go.
Yeah.
Even before they say I'm going
to tell you what. I'm going to get to my freestyle. King Kaju, Charles Beast King, influenced me to be more of a freestylist. He did a poem. I was working for for CIST. And I just stood still. It was that powerful. I couldn't even move. I said, what these? I said, what?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know you got that same ability. With that being said, sir,
yes. All right, this I tell you what, Jenna, you give me the title. And that's my poem.
Children.
Children. All right. Speaking of the world, be like the educated. The world of our words, we be like the elevated. Never left alone of a life that's postponed. And we deal with children and want to teach them how to be grown. It's a life of a struggle. Sometimes they find themselves in different places. And smiles not always on their face. We as adults, no time to waste. It's a vision. They're learning. What are our concerns? We are trying to teach them and everything in return. This word so incredible, love so adjustable. We like come like with the full force. We stay on course. Love is like the wave that we endorse. See, with the situation of learning everything, we had to reinforce. They're children. They are children. They can be what they like to be. I know I can be what I want to be. If I work hard at it, yes, that song by Nas. We do, and we just take a pause. We live in the world like with our direction and the children and our own reflection. That they can see how beautiful and what the world is just so critical. Sometimes children are dying before they can even come to their growth. But we got to be in unity of both, that we have a reaction, making a promise and being honest. This is progress. This is taking everything in the office that we come with files to teach them. Yes, be like Teddy Pendergrass. Teach the children. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. We never miss a quote. We be like the world. We be like the eyes. We be like on the rise. These are our children, the children of the future, the children to live, the children of a dream, the children of building up a self-esteem, the children that want to be on top, the children that cry, but we wipe their eyes. Child, you are somebody. My child, never look down that you can't be anything, that be of a positive. So this is like on a full force level. Just stay on course, my child. Long legacy. We uphold for love for all our children. Come the best that they can be. Mr. Automatic Charismatic, the lyrical engine, can get us in the morning, prep and drive.
Dude, that was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Poise that you
Thank
had
you.
With this piece, man. Your poise was off the hook with it. Because, you know, I've seen you get fiery and go in and be hitting your hit words and all the rest of that. But this one right here, you walk this one out. I think she gave you the perfect prompt to put you right in this area that you was in. I'm really liking this. I think you want to check out these replays, man, and hear what's going on in here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, well, I'm a fan. You know, y'all dope poets. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make some time to be in Clubhouse. You know, it's hard.
You know, you get big love over there, man.
Yeah, take y'all up on there. It's hard to try to make so much time. You know, especially I get a whole lot of phone calls from my job. Did you get pickup? Did you make the delivery? What time is your ETA? I mean.
I tell you what, man, if you want to go ahead and get into it like that, start recording your freestyles when you got some time to yourself. I don't know if you can get into the mood like that to go ahead and do it, but go ahead and record them. Put a little picture there, and then go for your video. Drop it over there, small, and over here to the Epiphany, and then to the these two different what's the names for sure. And you'd be surprised at how your traction will go ahead and start forming.
Okay.
You can go in and grab this piece right here, cut it down, just get you a little picture to go out in front that go ahead and exemplifies charismatic, and then start putting that video out there, man, so more people can go ahead and learn something about you.
I'm going to tell you, one guy that can flip your poem and make it sound like Zap Rogers or something.
That
is C-34 Music.
Oh, that go without saying. That go without saying.
Yeah, he can flip your whole... I mean, he can make your music... He can make your poem, like, bounce to the ounce. I mean...
hey, if they call for that,
that brother.
Do it.
Real.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yes.
He got an ear for what the person is already doing, and their cadence, and then he just go ahead and find that right piece for it every time.
I call him the Dr. Dre of poetry.
He definitely can live up to that.
Which is a high compliment. Yeah, which is a high compliment because I ain't never seen somebody come with dope beats. I mean, there are people that come with dope beats, but Dr. Dre is on top.
Right. As far as the poetry world goes, I don't know nobody who out here working as hard as he is to make sure that poets are being heard. The important part is the poets are being heard. You can have the greatest poetry in the world, charismatic, and just have it in your notebook, and you and your notebook will be the only ones that ever know about it.
Right.
Sis, do you have anything else to go for our brother Charismatic here?
I want to tell him that, just like you said, he did a fine job with the word children. If my grandchildren were here, I would have been pleased for them to hear that piece. And since it's being recorded and it's going to be streamed after the show broadcast, we will be able to go back and listen to it, and then I would love for them to hear that. So thank you for making your piece about children child-friendly.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope one day we can work together, Gina.
That's something to look forward to, Otto. Appreciate you calling in. Know that you need to get your rest. Not looking at it, and we know what time zone you're in, and you need to do what you got to do, but we appreciate you coming through and spending this time with us tonight.
Thank you. Much love, y'all.
One love, one mic.
Much
love, Automatic Fast, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you make sure you get that rest out there on that road, too, brother.
All
right. Yeah, I'm about to go to sleep right now while y'all are talking about.
Absolutely,
hey,
bro.
Hey, whatever you do, you keep us playing. Talk to you in a minute, bro.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the For Real Network presents, this is the Just Jay and Gina Storm Show, not the rehearsal, but the show. We're here every other Saturday night, so join us on the 25th of March when we'll be back, and we would love to have you here with us as we did this evening. All of the shows here in the Epiphany Universe are sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw?
You just sold 99 bracelets.
You know what? The only time I'm not wearing one of mine is when I'm in the shower or the tub. Other than that, I try to keep one on. It's a thing. It becomes part of you. Your Raw Links will be an extension of your person. Once you get it and you feel like one ain't enough, you know what I mean? So.
Right.
Hope
you should be like I'm going to get you, sucker. He over gold.
Yes.
How you go to bathroom with all the bracelets on? Hey, you know what? I be watching his promos and videos he be doing. He be going nuts with the graphics and the rest of that.
Yeah,
I didn't know how deep off he was into it. Oh man, his photography is off the hook too for the Raw Links.
Absolutely, he does a great job. Honestly. That's how I know which one to get because, you know, once you see it, like, that would look good on me.
Right. It ain't like the picture's being taken. You got your Raw Link in your pocket, and then there's a camera phone in there that every now and then take a picture or something. No, he doing these nice setups. He's doing compositions, and he's taking that right picture to go ahead and situate exactly what he wants to go ahead and push forward for that. I'd be watching that, just be like, just watching the movements on it. It's dope.
Gotcha. Absolutely. You have that eye, though. You always know.
Yeah, for that photography thing, I could see a thing or two. We're going to go ahead and get around to this person here. We got 860752.
I know you're not about to give out my whole number across this radio.
I know you weren't going to give it all out, Mama.
Okay, I had to make sure. I heard the 860, then the 752. I was like, no, let me get ready, cut him off real fast.
How you going to cut me off until I get you on here?
Hey, easy. I just did. I asked a question. You know how we do, Jack.
How you doing, Mama Donna? You been taking care of yourself?
Of course I take care of myself. I take care of myself every day.
All right. We got this big thing coming up tomorrow.
Yes, the interview with my son is going to be interesting.
It'll be definitely interesting.
Of course, have you put out the notice to everybody to come to that? If you don't have Clubhouse, come to Clubhouse. Get Clubhouse because tomorrow you don't want to miss it. At the Shop Presents the Living Room, we'll be having an interview with the elder, Wallace Reed. You don't want to miss this interview. It's going to be popping. We got so much coming up on the Clubhouse with the Small House of Poetry. So keep in tune so you can be able to follow along.
You're becoming quite the promo lady yourself.
I'm trying to do my promotions. That was awesome.
Well, hey, you know, the person that we're going to be interviewing keep telling us we need to drill that in our head, so it's been drilled into my head. Come on, people, come along. Come along.
I heard that. On brand all the time.
I'm waking up talking about Small House of Poetry. What's wrong with this picture?
You did a pretty good job in there in that kitchen, too. That was some pretty tough talent that was walking around up in there.
Yes, it was. You know, that's what I love. You know what? And that's why I was thinking to myself, whether he can do it or not, Wallace can do it or not, we should always have that room open up. You know, we should always. It's like, what's that saying? If you build it, they will come. If we open the room,
yeah,
they will show up.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be there.
They're going to be there. And you know when it's a good room because everybody's all engaged in the conversation and the chat, you know. And they might can't get up on stage, but they stay in the room, in the family room that whole time just to make sure they can listen and catch every gem that falls.
You know, that's one thing I had noticed about it today. It was long periods of time that ago that people weren't in the chat really saying anything. And it was just like really quiet and everybody just getting loaded back up and it was going out there and it was ripping their pieces. I think people were so locked and loaded that, you know, they were just like more than male.
And then all of a sudden it was like a, then it became like a firestorm. Everybody started chatting in the chat, Everybody started
right.
comments in the chat. It was just like, okay, it was real kind of slow at the beginning. And I think it was, it's because for some people, I think when the room started, we got a lot more newer people came in and they didn't understand what was going on. And then the more seasoned people came in and they knew what was happening. So once that they came in there, the conversation started flowing in the chat. And then, you know, and if you think about it, after the first one or two rounds, we had a really good stage.
Yeah.
Of dynamic poets, you know, and it's not often that you can get that. And how many, I know Gina was taking count, but I think she stopped after two. Did you stop after two, Gina?
Oh, no, ma'am. I put up 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 5, I forgot, and 6 was our last.
Oh, okay. See, I knew she was keeping track, but I was getting lost. I was lost
in the
sauce,
because
okay?
It's so funny. Every single piece that I spit was off my timeline on Facebook from a memory of recent. So I was like, oh, easy. I know which whatever. I'm going to the next one.
Smashing.
I changed the word.
Everybody was killing.
Yeah, because I was like, I was a different age than at the time when I wrote it, or I was no longer married. You know, I'm no longer married now, but I was then. You know what I'm saying? But whatever it was I had to change, I did. But, yeah, that's the wonderful thing about Key Style. I already had the foundation, so all I had to do was freestyle around that. So, woo-hoo.
Right.
Well, you
right.
know, it was getting too lovey-dovey in there. I had to start breaking out some shit that didn't have nothing to do with love because y'all was starting to get on my nerves.
And yeah. Tim decided he was going to go violent. That just gave me all I needed.
So here I come in here with my daddy issues. Oh, yeah, I got my damn daddy issues. There ain't nothing about no damn love here. That's some daddy issues.
That is love. Daddy issues is always love.
No, it ain't daddy issues. Ain't no always love when you don't know the nigga. No, it ain't. Unless you love to hate them. Yeah, okay, then that's love. Okay.
Well, but there's consistency there.
All right. I love to hate. Okay, that's a consistent love. Okay. That's my strongest love I've ever had.
Hey. Don't knock it.
Not until you try it. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
I said it was a pretty good kitchen.
Excellent kitchen, you know. And that's what I say, that gives me more impetus that we need to do to make sure that happens every Saturday.
Yeah.
I think people look forward to it. And then when we don't have a schedule and we don't do it, it kind of gets lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's about time, too. You know. Sometimes we all get tired. That's the reason why we have it set up so that if somebody do get tired, we have it set up so somebody else can just step right there in that spot so all that weight is not on that one person.
Right.
That's why you and Gina can go up and down the line and run everything in a clubhouse easy.
Get how you set us up, Gina.
Like
yeah,
I said, don't get no
idea.
We're not doing it.
Yeah, you try to. You see how you set us up, Gina?
I might go miss.
He's trying to regulate us. He's
tried
trying
it.
To regulate us into
oh,
positions.
Oh no!
And he did
don't
not ask
that
we wanted to go.
He did. Yes, he did. I heard.
Don't
him.
Even try
yeah.
that. No,
yeah,
you
noticed that, okay? Because it wasn't as slick as he thought he was. You know what? Even when I don't wear glasses, and I still got one contact in my left eye, I could still see what the hell he was doing.
I saw it, too.
That's all right. But I'm just saying, y'all are the virtual people that's there. That's just all I said.
Yeah. Yeah. We know the narrative
the
that you're pushing. You want us
there.
Women to pick up the load. We understand.
Oh, my goodness.
We understand.
What are we going to do? Leave it to me? Leave it to Tim? Leave it to Wallace? What are we talking about here? Leave it to Adam?
What a unique idea. Leave it to the men to lead. Wow. That's interesting. Who would have thought of that? What a novel idea.
Calling me right now.
That's such a novel idea. Letting the men lead. That's such a novel thing.
Hold on a minute, y'all.
It's a minute. So, with that being said, Mama Donna, we were having this discussion as to what is it that we can bring back from our childhood or our children's childhood. In your instance, there would definitely be Wallace and Cheryl's childhood that these kids in this generation right now need because they don't have, and there's this disconnect. Because we were talking about how there's no love songs, no dating and courtship before marriage, if anybody even cares to get married anymore, where marriage was more a necessity and now it's just basically an option. One of the many options that one has. So, you know, how do we get kids back on track so they learn how to slow dance and to romance each other?
Right.
Well, I think part of that comes from the fact that we don't have any community anymore. And you don't have the men teaching men, the young men, how to be men. You don't have the women teaching the young ladies how to be women and how to carry themselves. We just sit up there and we just unleash them onto the world without any instruction on how to take care of their person, you know, or how to cherish their bodies. We just say, oh, okay, you're 18, get out. I don't care what you do with your life. It's all right. It's over. I did my part, you know, and I think part of that comes from the parents are getting younger and younger having children, and they're too busy trying to be friends with their kids instead of being parents with their kids. And then when the kids get out here, they don't know what to do. It's kind of like when I got on my own. You know, I got on my own. I didn't know how to navigate life. I didn't know how to navigate things. The first apartment I had, my mother knew somebody, and she got it for me. And, yes, I paid the rent, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I had one child and another one on the way. So where was the instruction? Where was the – I had the adult behavior without the response, and I'm learning to get the adult responsibility, but I had nobody to sit up and say, this is how you manage life, you know, budgeting, grocery shopping, paying bills, all those different things. Don't even forget – don't even talk about relationships. You can't even get to the basics of living. Because people aren't instructing their children on how to do that.
True. You're right. And
you
then
know,
when you
so if you're not instructing them on the
roles, people think that, again, you're being old-fashioned. They're like, gender roles? Oh, my goodness. Men can be stay-at-home dads, and women can be CEOs. I understand all of that. But I also need kids to understand the way there should be a balance. You understand what I'm saying? And there's so much of a disparaging difference than the way things were to the way things are. I just, like I said, I hope and pray. Like you said, if we had a village, that would help tremendously. Because I know I still have one, but I don't know a lot of people who do.
I think the men dogged it out to the point where the whole system just broke. When they had got started, and you know, I came in on the tail end of that generation where it's like, oh, my granddaddy, he got like 21 kids. My granddaddy got 14. My granddaddy got such and such. And, you know, their granddaddy
yeah,
wasn't with nobody, including their grandma. I think that overloaded the system.
He was with grandma and still had all these kids. He didn't leave grandma alone. You know, back in those days, a lot of men, I think, were, when they're talking about, they want the old days. What they mean by the old days and the old traditional woman, they want that woman, they can be sit up there and come home and say, this is my wife, while he got his 20 different girlfriends out in the street and his 20 million damn kids, okay? And then that woman just sticks by him through all this crap. And, you know, and women aren't doing that anymore. So that's where you get all the disparity
and
all that.
It left the woman with a great burden. And it also left the women with a great deal of resentment because the women had to go ahead and raise those children while those men went ahead and ran away from those women.
And then then the men had no nerve to get mad at the women because they turned around and become independent women who are headstrong, who are taking care of their business, raising the children. They abandoned. And then they had the nerve to get up and say, you're used up, you're this, you're that. Well, who used us, Negro? You did.
Have you been looking in the area of mentoring young women different ways to look at things or to show them a life wisdom type of things?
I would love to do that. I think that's why I think the appeal that I have with the poetry is that with my story and my life story, I'm not trying to preach at anybody, but hopefully they can learn from my experience.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because because sometimes experience does not have to be the big bang, beat them up kind of experience, but it's still traumatic to an individual. And if you can touch on a little bit on somebody's trauma and they can identify and they can say, okay, she got through that. I can get through this. And if they want to reach out to me, I'm always available to talk. But you know my job situation, it makes it hard for me to do that.
Yes, ma'am. But, you know, it doesn't take every movement. Sometimes we can go ahead and start a movement and then somebody else can complete it. And that's the way that communities used to work back in the day. You know, the single mother, which was my mother, you know, it would be, we would be out there getting into stuff. And as we're out there getting into stuff, the people were like, hey, Jared, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. I'm going to tell your mama on you. I'm going to tell your grandmama on you. I'm going to tell your uncle on you or what may have you. And that was enough to go ahead and help me correct behavior or like, man, I can't go there. Most of my family stay down that way. You know, I'm about to go ahead and go this nowadays. That's not as big as an impact because we don't want to tell the children to get off our grass because it may lead to a fight. And then the mama and the daddy coming down and they all standing in the grass.
Jared,
and they want to keep
their ass. You've got
to
have kids come outside to play on the grass first. The kids are all locked up in the house playing on computers and games and gaming systems. Kids don't go outside like they used to.
I didn't hear that. She said they got to go outside first.
Okay. They have to go outside first for them to be able to step on your grass. How can a community be involved with your children when your children are locked away in the house with you? You know, the TV and the gaming systems have become the babysitter for the children.
Oh, they have. They definitely have. I tell you what, them kids, if they can go ahead and dedicate to anything in their life the same way they do those electric devices, oh, they're going to be on top like nobody's business. But if it's just the electrical device
the
and it's not really adding to no
money. We put that up on the children, but it's the parents that are leaving the children alone to their devices.
Right.
Because parents don't want to parent the children anymore. You see how you got to do it? If the children can learn, you know what? They've been saying that from centuries on. Well, if you can know all the words to that music, you can do your homework. How many times have you heard that?
Oh,
in your
man,
life,
that don't
make
no sense when I was that age, too.
Right. So no matter what, every generation has something that they pick out and they feel that older generation feel that, oh, it's going to bring the youth to ruin. You know, back in my day, it was Elvis Presley and his hips. You know, they couldn't show him anything below his hips. And he wasn't doing anything. Yes, he was doing the white man shuffle. It didn't look like he was doing much of anything. But they made it seem like he was doing the most sinful thing on earth by shaking his hips.
Yeah.
And what was he doing? Imitating a black person.
Right.
So every generation has something that they pick out, you know, that they feel is, oh, it's going to be the downside to all generations because these youth are never going to get it together. And look at all, they love all that rock and roll music, and I bet they need to go to school, and they need to do this, and they need to do that. But you know what? There's a lot of kids out here that have their head straight, that are putting their nose to the grind, and they're going to school, and they want to have better lives, and they want better for themselves. But on the flip side of that, there's a lot of dysfunction. Yeah, there's a lot of dysfunction, and the dysfunction comes from people abdicating their responsibility as a parent.
Hmm. Well, I tell you what, Mama Donna, we're going to go ahead and roll over into your poetry, but I'm on top of that right there.
I don't even know if I had a piece. I hadn't even thought about it. Trying to get into the conversation. I have been sitting there thinking about it.
You sound like you're pulling a Gina move.
I would like to hear. Huh?
I said, it sounds like you're pulling a Gina move there, talking about like, oh, yeah, I read now, so I got to go ahead and pull it up. How do you people deal with it? I'm like, oh, she's just trying to dry brag on the side and in the front.
You know, I don't even do that kind of crap, Jared. I'm just really do not know what to
do. I'd be just like, if I freestyled, I wouldn't have to look nothing up.
No. You're going to have Mama down in the mic.
Uh-huh, but I was giving her a chance to find her piece. I wasn't going to rush her. Thank you. Because she said she
well,
had
you know
her.
What?
Giving it no thought. You found my mom?
I think I'm going to be a little saucy tonight.
Oh, I love this part. With that being said, Mama Donna, the mic is yours.
Returning home from a weekend getaway, I was exhausted. It was a long drive. Thank God the kids will be with the babysitter until the morning. I unlocked the door. I see my home. He is sitting on the couch, waiting on my return. My heart leaps at the sight of him. With just one look, my body reacts with pleasure. He rises from his seated position with a welcoming smile on his face. He embraces me with a sense of longing and age urgency. The tiredness has disappeared at the mere touch of him. This feels different. This feels right. He leans back, looking into my eyes. Love is visible. The intensity of his gaze has me feeling shy and unsure. It's palpable, whatever's going on right now. It's electric. I'm not used to this emotion that is flowing. I think he missed me. This is our longest separation. Is this what he is conveying? His reluctance in letting me go is endearing. He helps to bring in my luggage. He asks, how was the trip? Our conversation is flowing. The ambiance is relaxing with soft music playing. He states, dinner's ready if I was hungry. Yeah, I was hungry, but not for the food on the stove. I am not a demonstrative individual, so I keep my response to myself. We ate our meal in companionable silence. We cleaned up after our meal. Afterwards, we retired to our room. I wanted to unpack, but he brought me close to me, kissed my forehead. There's a tenderness in this gesture. I'm confused. This underlying sexual current that has been ignited. I never experienced as much love with anyone else. He removes my clothing with a gentleness I have never experienced before. As he removes each garment, he places a kiss on each exposed body part. This increases my need to be held. He commands that I keep my hands by my side. I missed you. Let me love you. I want to explore every part of you. I drop my hands as he rains kisses and murmurs sweet sounds from my head to my toes and back again. I squirm and wrap my legs around his legs. His tongue flicks my ear as he takes his love pipes. I want to hold him. He keeps my hand by my side as the sexual tension rises. When he reaches my eyes, he places small kisses. It's a declaration as he looks at me and states, I love you. He enters my sheath that he has so masterfully prepared for his domination. His movements are slow and purposeful. He places my hands on his back. I immediately reach up and clutch his head. I kiss him ravenously. I can't get enough of him. If I could, I would have him melt into me. There is this overwhelming need to taste him. I've never done this before. I take his dick into my mouth, looking up at him as I suck him into an aphrodisiac. In itself, I am weak with the pleasure of pleasing him. This is something I never experienced before. My eye contact is not broken. It's like I can see into his soul. His body quakes. I recognize the power in my tongue and mouth. What a revelation. The tide has turned. I am now in control. The freeing of my inhibition leads to a more erotic experience. I missed him so much. I needed to show him. I begin to place kisses on his chest, and he explodes. He implores me to let him in. I straddle his hips and slowly lower my sheath on his phallus. He guides my hip as a ride. His movements facilitates between fast and slow. We change position. My legs are now wrapped around his torso. His dick drives me into precision. The rhythmic claps of body striving towards pleasure. Feeling his love juice pour into me unleashes an orgasm so strong I pass out. When I open my eyes, I'm confused. What the hell just happened? He looks scared, and his concern is palpable. I assure him I'm okay. We try to process this incredible feeling until we fall asleep in each other's arms. While reading the book years later, I discover I experienced a peak mort, a small death. This was the ultimate orgasm. That's the wisdom of my Madonna.
That was wonderful, Mama Donna. Jerry, can you shotgun the comments first for me, please, partner? Thank you.
Sound like you died and came back. Hey, is that good? No shotgun for you, Zina?
You're horrible. But I don't know what I was expecting. My God. I said, look, if I pull my nose or anything, I can't count on him to save me from nothing. I was going to merge a call, but what I love about Mama Donna's romantic pieces is you can hear the same sincerity, passion, and emotion that she puts into, you know, for example, daddy issues or the one when she made the bottle. So those poems to me may be a little heartbreaking and melancholy, even a little sad. But when she goes to the romantic place, I feel real sassy. Mm. So thank you for making me feel warm. I appreciate that, Mama Donna. Thank you.
That was about as erotic as I'm ever going to get. You understand that, right?
It was sexy, though. It wasn't even erotic. It was nice.
It was. Don't try to shield us from everything, Gina. It was.
Okay.
She's a big girl. That poem right there alone proved that she's a big girl. She can handle herself.
Goes over or when I'm on Nihilus.
Now, see, that's one thing about women. Women will go to bat for each other, whether they is this way or that way. They will go to bat for each other. Like, now, that wasn't
going
that.
I'm going to just put it out there. I have rewritten it a little bit and expanded it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's about as close as I'm going to get to erotic as you want to get from me.
No, that was it. I'm sorry you crossed the line. You crossed the line
okay,
a little while ago.
One piece. Had to do at least one piece. That's it. Just to have the experience.
That was an experience. I thought we almost lost you there.
No, she survived that.
No, you almost. I almost thought I lost myself during that moment. So you don't even know.
There you go. That part. Oh, that's the stuff we look forward to. That's worth writing poetry about.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Right, that was quite an experience when it happened. Cause you
I was like, who Pete?
Thought you almost died, but that's what that is, a petite Lamort. That's a small death.
No, all
oh,
right.
You're asking a lot of
J-Mom.
You really are. You're asking a lot.
I'm
that's a
caveman.
See? She even says it.
Well, at least, Gina, at least he admits it.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those
mm-hmm.
men beat women over
yes,
the head, bring them back to the cave. You mine. You mine. Me, man, you woman. My.
So I got to ask a question of Mama Donna before we go to our next caller. Ma'am, what do we have going on Clubhouse and the Small House of Poetry other than tomorrow's interview with your son, Wallace?
Oh, we have the AM drive on the Clubhouse. It's 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we come in there, and if you're on your way to work or you're just going to ask about your day, whatever you're doing, we can ride along with you. We have conversation. We sprinkle it with some poetry. We have black facts. We have what's in your cup, what's the weather like where you're at. But we got different segments of our show that we would love for y'all to come in and sit there and participate in. And if you couldn't get up and you were driving and you just wanted to listen to us, that would be an ideal time to come along to the AM drive. Then, you know, of course, we got Saturday. We have the kitchen. We had that today. You missed that one. But you know what? We have it every Saturday. It's a great opportunity to just do speed round after speed round of poetry. And then every Sunday we got the living room, and that's at 7 p.m. And the kitchen is at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, every Saturday on the clubhouse.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mama Donna holding down the clubhouse, small house of poetry, yes.
That's the girl I am.
You killed it.
I've become the brand now.
I love it. I love it so, so much. Well, we have kept you up. I know that you, you know, every day you work, so get you some rest. We appreciate you coming and hanging out with us tonight, even though we started a little late. I got a caller in queue on my phone who probably is in between jobs or just finished up at the plantation who couldn't get into queue. Block Talk Lady's doing her thing, so we're going to try to get C-34.
All right, then.
Love
all
you,
right,
Mama.
And we got
all right, nice talking now. Love y'all.
Love you, too.
Love one, Mike.
We have another small house member waiting in the wings, too.
Well, I'll be awake as long as I can until I can't no more.
Love that. Thank you,
hey,
Mama.
Hey. You got to keep right. Our ratings up. You can't hang up. If you hang up, we might lose a percentage point or something like that.
I ain't about to hang up. I say I'm going to be awake as long as I can wait. But then again, y'all not going to be on mic, so y'all ain't going to hear me snore, so I ain't going to make a difference.
There you go.
Oh, we can go ahead and un-mic you now. When we think you didn't get into the full swing of that snore,
if
we can go
do,
ahead and un-mic
you. If you get scared by the snore, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. I have been forewarned. That's all I can tell you. I'm not one of those women that say I do not snore. I snore, okay? I light up my room, okay? Maybe that's
all
the
right,
room I need to be by myself.
Oh, yeah. I've always snored, though. I snored as a baby. My mom was like, oh, I didn't know babies snore. This one did.
You know, we'll get to conversation. Right, you got people on the line. Talk to y'all later.
Yes, ma'am. See you tomorrow.
Hey, we appreciate you.
See you tomorrow.
You came in here and brought me spice. That's spice. Talk to you tomorrow.
You did. That was beautiful. Small house. All right.
Oh,
so this is what we're going to do, partner. We're going to run to Clarence. Who else we got? Well, we said we have another small house family member in queue.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter, you ready to go?
I'm here, and I know that Blog Talk Lady ain't one of my exes that I left, and she's ticked off at me because I withheld all my good stuff.
Whoa, wait a minute. Now, maybe that's a story.
Whew, that's a prompt. Oh, he said he got plenty.
How are you both doing?
We're doing wonderful. We just have a ball. You know, I know it sounds like a whole lot of fun and shenanigans. That's because it is. It really is. We're just enjoying ourselves.
All I know is I don't take eugenics. It's fruits and berries, so she'll love it too.
Ooh, that's a whole message right there, y'all.
Message.
I'm dying. Oh, that got real tears. I cannot with y'all tonight. Oh, my God. Okay, so we had a question. I don't even know if I remember.
I don't know if I can answer it, but we'll try.
Oh, yeah, so we're trying to get these kids on track. You know,
you don't remember it for real? Oh,
no,
you did.
No. Yeah, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I mean, you know it's bad, but it ain't got that bad yet.
Yeah. Hey, but I got to check it myself.
Yeah, they don't have any R&B that they can slow dance to. They don't know how to slow dance. They know how to hunch, how to grind, to twerk, and to drop it.
Yes.
That's what they're going to do. They know how to hook up Netflix and chill and swipe left and right, but they don't know how to date. They don't understand courtship. They think that people are being corny or what do they call? Oh, you're lame. You're lame if you know, do the stuff that your parents and grandparents did. I think that we need to get back to that for real. It's really looking sad. What do you suggest? Because everybody's answers have been different, but all of them could work if we employ them.
Well, for the music person in me, I say stop putting an R. Kelly beat to a horror movie soundtrack. That's what trap music is.
Okay.
Look, I mean, even though back then they were hinting at the sexual stimulation and stuff like that, you know, it was discreet, which is the way a couple should be, discreet. And you can't be teaching these kids in school at 3 years old what sex is.
Right.
So my answer to your question, we can get back to that, but it depends on the character. Mm-hmm. And so far the character has been assassinated.
Whew. I think that's the truth.
I think
that is heavy. Coming.
Yeah. But like you said, he thinks of these things. These are honestly things that we should all be giving thought to and coming up with solutions and trying to make it better. Because like I said, when I see my grands and they pulling out puzzles, it makes me happy. Because you don't plug a puzzle in. There's no button to push. You can't pause it. Got to use your brain to make the pieces fit. So, yeah, I love that. More of that and less of the other. And I think that we can get these kids, we can save these kids because they're not going to be any relationships in the future, just baby mamas and daddies.
See, you need to put up a Jerry Lewis telethon, and I'll be Ed McMahon.
I love the kids. We got to save these kids.
Show us the tote board, please.
Oh, yeah, we got to save these kids. One way or another, we're going to make sure that these kids make it. I mean, we have to. I love that.
Yes.
Whew. That answer, though. CJ, what did I tell you? Every answer is different, and they're all good. We put all this together, we're going to be all right.
The mind of a poet.
Absolutely. And everybody's mind's working in a way that works in tandem to the big picture. That's like, and that's saving these kids. So I salute this. Dexter, I don't want to hold you. I know you, the way that you work and that you got to give in, you know, punch in at the house. And
yeah, you know, Jill Scott is waiting.
She is not playing with you, right?
Yeah,
I'm looking at
know,
the clock, so.
I answer calls when she calls. You
absolutely.
Know, that's how that goes.
Uh-huh. Jerry King, would you be so kind to give my brother Dexter the microphone, please?
Yes, ma'am, I certainly will. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to introduce this man. This man right here is C-34 Music, and sir, the mic is yours.
Thank you for the Radio Shack mic. I appreciate it. I paid $5 for it. This piece is called The Struggle Is Real. Friday, March the 3rd, 2023, parts of Nashville, Tennessee. On this terra firma earth, wind damage reaching 50 miles per hour devoured power, causing a fire mentality not seen since 2020. It feels like the remnants of the pandemic pandemonium reigned supreme. I saw the panic in faces racing, people enraged as they were engaged in bumper-to-bumper traffic, blood splattered from car crashes. Some can't contact family after the internet crashed. I saw a frozen face on my television holding a mic which told me something. We depend on generations of technology with microwaves of dichotomies with no apologies. Bowing down to it as the God we serve. Accepting planned agendas and false prophecies like eyelashes as large as butterflies. Men controlled by pornography as lust spirits come from the demonic realms. Some let them in, acting thuggish, only to discover they're now effeminate in attempts to imitate the women they worship in this workshop. But if I go against reciting the alphabet, a majority will call it hate. Watch what I say about the mafia, or there'll be problems like someone dropped pharmaceuticals in my sippy coffee cup. It's been an hour being on the street. People believe in pre-tribulation rapture, but that's not what the Bible says. There's too much malice in Wonderland. Look to my left. This mother gives me a symbol with her other hand. What in hell have I done to her? What I've learned is the struggle is real. God help us all. See Double 34 Music in stereo. That's that piece.
Ooh. My goodness. That, in fact, was that piece. I'm going to say this because I have to. There was too many cats, one in particular, and say that's my favorite, or I love where you were going with that, or what you said in that particular moment, because it was just too many. I couldn't hold on to just one. That's one that I like to hear and read, so that would help me tremendously to pinpoint where I got thrown off the first time. It's just too much. I just couldn't hold on. I got blasted out of my seat. But the wonderful thing about it is struggle. You know, it is real. People try to downplay and act like it's no big deal and everything's going to be all right. But sometimes it's not, and you have to acknowledge that. So the way that you put it was the way that you put everything. it was entertaining and true.
Oh, yeah, because this did happen on Friday, March the 3rd.
Yes. But you just don't know. Like, I was thinking, because, I try not to watch the news. I was like, what day was that? What took place? Mm-hmm. Thank you for the memory right there. You,
yeah,
sir, are a talent wrapped in a gift, because I don't have that ability. You know, I would see a story on the news and just, go off and cry in the bathroom or something. But, it would never occur to me to pick my pen up. That's very rare. I can hardly ever pluck a story off the news and go with it. So, bravo.
Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
You so much.
You're so welcome. I've been missing your poetry so much. Just Jay, what you got for Dexter?
I like how it was unapologetically straight down the middle, This right here was your truth, and you put it out there. The thing about that is, when you start working with great numbers of people, you'll find out that you resonate with so many people throughout that whole entire demographic. This piece right here was very raw. So this is what I have come to expect from you, Clarence. You don't hold your punches on your truth. You just go ahead and let it go out there. And that's the truest part of expression. If people keep on shaping what we feel and what we think, then we will all eventually start to sound alike. I thought this was dope, bro.
Thank you, brother. I mean, I keep thinking about how Mark Zuckerberg likes to do censorship. So with his wife, I like to send her some shit.
Cannot.
That's how I feel about it.
Oh, yeah. Never any question about how you feel. I love it here.
And just remember, she'll like it too.
See? Cutting up. Just cutting up.
Right. What you been up to, Dex?
Tell everybody where they can find you, Dex, because I love your group and your page on Facebook, and everybody needs to get over there.
They can find me on C34 Music and Friends. That's my Facebook page. They can find me at Mixcloud, SoundCloud, YouTube. They can find me in Tennessee where I'm not thirsty.
Mm.
Because I saw the women downtown. Daisy Dukes do not fit everybody.
Wow. It's a shame. That's got to be sick.
Yeah,
they bite different.
Yeah, you've already seen the blueprint from the cellulite. It'll be fine.
Tragic.
Come down here. You'll understand.
No, my wife don't allow me to move out the state. And I'm a truck driver.
Now, I understand it, to be honest with you, because it's a hot mess. That sounds terrible.
Nothing like sloppy stuff, dancing on a party bus, drinking.
Oh, wow. That's the visual. You are a poet, sir.
The images that just went through my mind's eye.
Yeah, I'm like Dana. I'm just that right now tonight.
Wow. I love it.
Let me to the lounge.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely. I got you. Love you. Glad that you made it in. Hopefully it works out next time. We will actually be back on the 25th. And hopefully at our normal time. And, just tonight, Blog Talk Lady decided to do what she was going to do. And we made
well,
it back.
Well, I've tagged home, so it's there for you.
All right. I love that. Thank you so much, bro.
All right. Love you. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Take care, brother.
Oh, yeah. So more than one way to skin a cat. I told him, I said, you know what, Dexter, I'll just call you. He said, oh, you would do that, did he? Duh.
Yeah. Did he pay
you
back again?
That's right. I had to get him because he couldn't get in. He said he was just hearing the lounge music, you know, the music before the show begins. And even though he had pressed one, it wasn't putting him in queue. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry, so...
I'll tell you what, I'm about to go ahead and hit this analog right quick for him. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all are at Epiphany Radio. It's the For Real Network. And our sponsor is Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? How did I do, Gina? Did I do okay?
That wasn't bad. I'm actually proud.
Oh, get out of here. You're not just in the middle of
the right word. You know me, I was remixing it every time. So, yay.
I did a simplified version because I didn't want to go too far. Like, oh, I can't even swim.
That part. I'm a strong swimmer, but I don't be in the ocean. Please believe. You got to know your depth.
You got to know your lane.
I'm a backyard pool. Not for them shenanigans. You get out there in the deep end if you want to. You can get in the ocean if you want to. Don't worry, knock me down and drag me out to sea. I'm good.
Hey, you know, man, that's what I like about you, man. You got a lot of resilience, man. It's refreshing. You know, a lot of times people go ahead and fold it in and be like, I can't go no more. Like, why not? What's going on? But your resilience is one of your strong points. Take my head off to you, sis. Oh, the bounce back game is incredible.
Woohoo! Look at me now.
All right, let's go ahead and get this other small house talent off into
the
zone.
Yeah, come on in, fam.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing you Dr. The mic doctor, Timothy Whispers, a.k.a. Timothy Proctor, a.k.a. Timothy Whispers. What's going on with you, bro?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Y'all is cutting up in here for real.
We are.
I love it.
It's mostly him. I'm good.
Whatever, man. He heard it. It ain't like you just telling him a story. He was there for it.
Yeah, right. I love it though. I love it.
Thank you.
How you doing, brother? Big brother?
I'm all right, you know what I'm saying? I was just chilling back and I was talking with Winston and Winston was wilding the fuck out.
So what you talking about now?
Yo, me dial up the blood clot number. Me can't get in. Say, what happened to my phone service them? Say, can't reach. Say, what go on? Me pay the bill every blood clot month. I still can't get in all the place over here. So, well, I'm not spit the poor to them. Say, yo, I don't know what to tell you then.
So I was like, yo, bro, you know, you got, I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe you need to catch an Uber over there or something. I don't know.
So, hey, I'm sure Winston ain't going to let one thing, like one plan falling apart, stop him from doing it. I live for the flag to fall apart.
I swear, y'all, I will put a poet in my trunk.
Oh, man, that's what's up.
Got a couple in there already.
All right.
Hey, hey, mind your business.
Wow. Yeah, man, this is what we've been doing tonight, man. Just
look, married people have different weekends than single people. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Wow. That's what's up, though. One word at a time, though. Y'all changing lives, so that's what it is.
Man, how's school been treating you, bro?
Man, school is good, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's cool, man. It's a woman that sit behind me, her and her daughter's in the class, and she always feeling about she married, but she always smiling at me. I'm like, look at here, lady. Don't do this bullshit right here, because, you know what I'm saying, I don't have to fuck you and your husband up. And then your daughter going to be mad because I done beat up her dad or some shit. Don't do that there. She was like, oh, you seem like you have a problem walking. You can hold on to me. Hell no. That's why they got walls in here. I'm not holding on to you. Stop this shit. You know. So, you know, the instructor tried to put me in the back with them. I was like, nope, I'm sitting up in the front by your desk. So you can see me. And I can see you and you can see them seeing me. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's shit.
But it's been a wonderful experience, though, you know, for being back in school after 30-plus years, man. It's like, oh, shit. You know, it's a lot going on, but I'm doing it, man. And I've only been there 1 week, and they test you after the first week to see where you at. And I'm, you know, lucky to say and glad and proud to say that after the first week, I'm at a C-plus level.
My man, talk to us about the generational gap, because that's what Gina came up with us for us tonight, was to talk about the generational gap.
Generational gap.
Yeah, because you, there's some real youngsters out there where you at, ain't it? And
people always add up, should it? Man, on the smoke breaks in school, all I had these niggas with that Uzi Vert shit and this other nigga and the woman told me, I got a goddamn Stendo and a clip in the digital. I was like, God damn, man, what are they saying, man? You know, and everybody in love with Future, beautiful, a lot of love with me. I'm like, man, look, man. Would anybody got any fucking Isley Brothers, you know, some Luther? What the fuck are y'all playing right now?
They ain't got none of that foggy stuff out there.
None of that. You know what I'm saying? LL Cool J, maybe a Rakim something? None of that. I was like, wow. But, you know, I smoke in the corner by myself because I don't even want to hear that stupid ass shit because I don't understand it. Yeah.
So what can we? You deal with kids too. You deal with young kids.
Yeah.
How do you get through to the next generation with this? What's your technique?
By not really playing with them, letting them know that I'm dead ass serious about what I'm doing, and manage to show them love at the same time.
It's the same time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We had a young boy. He was about 2 years old. He gave everybody hell but me, you know, and, you know.
Why was that, bro?
I don't know, but, you know, the one time he tried to give me hell, I didn't, like, spaz out. I grabbed him by his little collar, and I picked him up off the floor, and I just pulled him close enough so he could feel my breath on his nose, and I just stared at him. After that, I had no more problems with him.
Yeah. Allegedly, of course.
And then I actually do take time to play with him. Nobody else play with him. I play with him, right. Tickle him and shit like that and make him laugh. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when he's doing something out of the norm, I say, come on, man. You know you're not supposed to do that. And he'll say, okay. Okay, you know, I mean, but he a thug, though. He got put at 2 years old. He got put out of school 3 days out of the week, you know, every week. Got put out. They call it, come get this little nigga.
I be hearing that so much these days. I ain't never heard of a kid getting put out of preschool and daycare.
They get his ass out. They call us, come get this little nigga. He is wilding. What do you mean? He done took his shirt off. He's standing on the tables and shit. He's like, he's not going. He's not going to do nothing. I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. You could have straightened that out in a few minutes. But anyway.
Yeah. You know, he get in the car after we pick him up. He get in the car, say, you was bad in school? He say, no. I said, man, stop lying. He starts smiling. He don't say nothing else after that, all the way there. I say, you can say what you want, but you know when we get there to the house, what mama going to do for your ass? And he start hollering. I was like, well, should have thought about that before you took your clothes off in school, shorty. Yep.
In English seems to be the thread that was flowing throughout there.
Yeah, man. You know, and it's sad. They reunited him with his biological parents, man. I'm kind of sad he's gone, though. Yeah.
All right. Hopefully he can go ahead and they got a chance to get their feet reset. And then the reason why they were able to go ahead and get him is because they're making moves where they can give him a good home, hopefully, you know. Never came to work out.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, bro, we up here doing this thing called poetry, man, on this radio show called Epiphany.
Yeah,
it's the For Real the For Real Entertainment Network.
Well, for you guys, I got some ink that is probably still wet, and it's called melanin.
Yeah. Ooh. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can find a lovely young maiden to go ahead and give you the mic. I'm about to head outside.
All right.
And I'm looking around.
I'm the mother of a baby, but I do understand where you were going with that.
What the shit?
And I love it. Tip your waitress. We're gonna get this fresh ink because I like the way it smells. You know what I'm talking about? That being said, I have to give this microphone to my brother, Timothy Whisper. The mic is yours.
I say they call me cuckoo. I'm Cocoa Puff, my melanin rough, calling the bluffs of the unjust. I don't give a fuck what you think of me. Ink of me, I bleed on paper. I'm a statement maker. My skin deeper than the darkest of seas. I seize nuts for those that come for me. I see men watch me burst truth from the mouth of the doubts about me. I'm winning when wind blows strongholds to hold me at bay. Fly niggas ain't never flew this way. My skin beyond bronze. I'm a brown and resounding loud enough to be heard. Move pins like birds. These is cocaine words. The streets call me Kilo. Get a gram of the brown man. My plan is to devastate you, educate you, elevate you, take you higher than most. Drugs with one love poetry. I'm vocally charged. This melanin hard, y'all fabricate with softener and get washed out, squashed out of existence. My pigment alone kill pigs meant to protect and serve. I'm a melanin white folk tribe with me. My vitamin D gives sunburn to those trying to turn page back to slave. There's nothing better than my melanin in living color. Motherfucker, let's draw what you looking for. Get the picture. Who's the real nigga? Wiggles pull triggers. My melanin too fierce to get pierced. Yeah, I said it. Whisper loudly.
Bro.
All I can say is bars. My God. He said kilos and birds, those are drug-related. Was it drug-related words? Cocaine?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
I mean, something crazy up in there kills me. Yeah. Like, what did he say?
Yeah, man.
Damn, that's your man. That's sick. I can't wait to hear that again. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bananas. Say what you got.
Yeah,
are you
my,
stuck?
I say loud enough to be heard, resounding words, resounding loud enough to be heard. My pen like move like birds. These is cocaine words. The streets call me Kilo. Get a gram of the brown man. Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. oh, I never heard drugs sound so glorious ever. That was sick. For real. I mean, I'm not going to start using them. I'm just, you know, and it was dope. Like, unintended dope. Yes.
I feel you. Winning.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Winning.
You used the word, as far as for skin color, it kept popping up in this piece, you know, black and the brown and the brown and the brown. What significance did the skin color have in this piece, bro?
It had a lot of significance, and it was written because earlier me and my wife went to dinner at a all-you-can-eat buffet. And there was a lot of fat-ass white people in there. And it was this one white dude that was standing in front of the line to get the goddamn food with a plate in his hand eating. Like, nigga, is you going to get some goddamn food and eat it at the table or get the fuck out the way, man? He looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, dude, I mean, this is a whole restaurant, but it's not yours. Like, move out of the way. The place is already crowded. Like, stop playing, you know. And then, like, there was a birthday party for this grandma way in the back. And me and my wife snuck in there and shit like that. So I didn't realize there was a party. And I seen the balloons. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. We walked in the room. One of the ladies, she said, no, it's all right. Sit down. And then I watched the white people come to the door to try to get to the back, too, to get tables because all of the front was full. And they were like, nope, it's party back here. So the white dude was kind of pissed off and shit. He was like, oh, fuck. I was like, oh, okay. And immediately I started writing. So, yeah, that's where that came from.
How did everything turn out there at the birthday party, whatever they had going on there, bro?
Oh, man, it was good. We didn't know them from nowhere, but we became a part of their party. Like that.
Oh, beautiful.
Just because
that's happened to me before. Isn't that dope? That is like the craziest thing that I ever experienced in a public setting, like where total strangers welcomed you in. That's dope.
Yeah.
Salute that. You don't see it all the time, but when you do, it's like, what?
You know, right. It was funny when we first walked through there, this one of the little kids that was with them, he ran up and he stood in front of me. He just kept looking up like, oh, my God. And it was like, man, DJ, sit your ass down. What you doing? Get out that man's face. And he would not move. He just stood there looking at me like, oh, my God, who is this guy? You know, I said, you all right, shorty? He said, yeah, who you is? And he took off running. I was like, wow.
Okay. How tall are you, Whispers?
I am 6'5" and a half.
All right.
You know, I ain't want to say nothing, but if I were a small child standing in front of this Negro, mind y'all would just drop in those sandwiches.
After that, he kept showing me his muscles from across the room and shit. Man, I got muscles. I was like,
oh, y'all friends now, yeah. How about it? That's your boy. That's
your
boy.
He was trying to intimidate my man.
He wasn't ever scared. Nah.
Yeah, he wasn't scared.
Sweet.
It was beautiful, though, man, you know. And it's amazing where some of your work is born. You know, and when you know you're writing inspiration, you never know where it's going to come from. And that one came from that. Yeah.
Your wife moved pretty well in those type of circumstances where, you know, y'all don't really like know the people or what may have you.
We hate it. She was automatic. We got to find some other table. I said, look, baby, set your ass down.
Because when you're in them private rooms, they come and wait on y'all.
Yeah.
They come and refill your cup.
Yeah.
Take away your plate.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I've been in a bunch of them meetings where mostly it was my people, but like I said that one time.
yeah, you know.
Call
like,
that one time.
When we
I was just like
him.
We sat down. And I like, you know, for me, I don't want to be with a person that's going to be embarrassed or ashamed. I want a person to be acting just like me, like we were invited. Oh, hey, how you doing? Okay, it's been a minute. Like, nah, no faces, but not names. And I swear, everybody would know me by the time I left. But you know what? That's just me. Because I don't know much, but when I do, I know too.
Gina, my wife is a very private person. When we pulled in the parking lot, she saw all the cars. She was like, "God damn, it's crowded in there." I said, "Yeah, there's a lot of people in there. This is the time of day on a Saturday when we come into this shit. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of hungry people. There's a lot of fat people. You know, to book. You know, people came to eat. This is all you can eat buffet. Hey,
eat
think?
A lot, yeah.
So, you know, and she was trying to find the loneliest corner where nobody was in it. I was like, look, we going to go right here where the black folk at, in the back. We went to the party and we sat down. The lady said, go ahead, sit down. I said, no, I don't want to break up y'all party. The lady said, no, sit down. I said, okay, it's cool. I said happy birthday to the lady, sang happy birthday to her and everything. I don't know
how
I ignored it. And my wife was like, yo, why are you showing off, man?
I'm here for the cake. He likes to sing. I'm here for the cake.
Yeah, man. And like Gina, like you said, excuse me, what are you drinking, sir? Arnold Palmer. And they kept bringing the Arnold Palmers and for me and the lemonade for her, plates and all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah. That's how we do. If we was over there with them white folk, guess what? We had to get our happy ass up and go get them plates. And
they
go
wait
there
on
the
you. I've had them bring me bread, butter. You name it. I'm telling you.
Yes.
They'll refill your coffee and tea. It's all the drinks, and they bust the tables. It's just like you're in a restaurant and not the buffet because that's part of the package when you secure that room for you.
Oh, buffet?
Yeah.
Is
it all kinds of buffet?
Open buffets where they do it here, but they also do it at the Golden Corral.
Yeah, that's where we were, at Golden Corral. We was at Golden Corral. That's
and
exactly
they do it at Grandy's, because, I know buffets. Don't play with me. I told you, I've lived in 9 states. Name a buffet.
Okay.
In my former fat days. When I was fat people, like you're talking about, I could shut them down. Yeah. But I can't eat like that no more. But, yeah, back in my youth,
there was a brother that was a part of the party, man. He was so damn big. I don't know his name, but I called him Stomach. That my dog Stomach right there. That nigga Stomach was on the table, on the plate, every damn thing. I was like, damn, man, watch out before you stick that fork in yourself. That nigga was huge. I say, God damn. You know a nigga huge when his shoes lean to the side and he's sitting down? Nigga huge when he's sitting down and his shoes still leaning to the side. I was like, wow.
The Blog Talk lady just gave us 90 seconds to live, so we're going to see how that's going to work out.
Oh, damn. Yeah, she crazy. Well, I ain't
gonna we got a caller online that I don't know if she's going to be able to get in queue.
He's already shooting. He got his hand up.
Yeah, so I be telling all of my people, I be like, I know you listening, and I feel you and appreciate the fact that the elevator music was playing when you called and pressed 1. We're still having a show.
Yo, y'all have a good evening, man. I'm listening though.
Yeah,
hey, bro,
thank you so much for coming. You know we enjoy that. That piece was everything. I can't wait to hear it again. We're gonna get that one cracking over at the Small House.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now, before you get out of here, Whispers, what do you have coming up in the near future, brother?
In the near future, I'm going to be featuring the 5 Deadly Disciplines with the Kill on the 14th. And the 17th, I'm featuring with Scott Harrell and My Indigo is Blue. And that's what I'm doing.
You better have some poems if you're going over there making with Scott Harrell.
Oh, I got it. Yo, I got to tell you about that griot battle, too. Ooh, I was just over there. I'll tell you about that later, though.
No, what happened? We got a minute.
Oh, man. Spit Bro lost to Symbolic, bro.
Oh, get out of here. That didn't go well.
Yeah, man.
Pump Tree on Clubhouse is different from Pump Tree anywhere I've ever been.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah. Symbolic was going in, though. God damn, he was going in.
Believe
it. Yeah, Spit Royal came in kind of cocky because they was talking about flipping a coin. He was like, man, fuck that. We don't need no coin. I could just take off. Pom, and he took off. I was like, ooh. But
you if you're walking like that, you better talk like that.
Yeah. He was hot. Nobody thought he had it in the beginning. And Symbolic started off kind of slow, but when he found his groove, that nigga was like that damn train that picked up motion. And he started lighting that ass up. I was like, ooh. Yeah. Scott was in there battling, too. Scott lost because he stumbled a couple of times. Yeah.
That hurt right there, Whispers.
Yeah. It was really on fire in there. I was like, ooh wee, these niggas is not playing. Yeah. Yeah, they was getting personal too. God, oh, they was getting personal with them words.
They do that. That's what they do.
Yeah. I don't want to go in there because my feelings get hurt easy. I'll be trying to find a nigga address after that.
I know. We should have got your boy up in here because the board just went blank.
Wow.
When the time had ran out.
Then the online listeners got cut off. I didn't know when to announce that. I didn't know if it was this hour or if we had till midnight. I think we got to midnight for call in. But I don't know.
But my boards went blank, though, Gina. The 863 number that was in there, it's not in. I can't see nothing. It's just black.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if our show is done as far as for online listeners or if...
No, Blog Talk Lady, this is...
You'll call in. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good, Gina. Because you just a caller.
Oh, yeah, I'm in queue. I keep forgetting I called in. Right. You've got the studio.
Yeah, you just called us, though. And Whispers piggybacking in on me.
Yeah.
I tell y'all what, we're going to go ahead and run some poetry in this, Joe.
All right.
Whispers, you got a minute. Oh, you got to get out
of
here, bro. No, man. I'm good. My wife is full. She's snoring. And, you know, I'm good.
I'm in the man cave, chilling.
Well, I tell you what, Jenny, we ain't get a chance to do a piece tonight, did we?
Nah. I mean, like, I wasn't worried about it because, you know, 9 times out of 10, we going to get a chance to. It was just everybody went in on the question. And everybody's poetry was dope, and we had to, you know, go in on our critiques. And I'm going to be honest with you, you opened with the Jill Scott. We ain't had no music since the show started.
Jill Scott wasn't even supposed to be playing. It was supposed to be some Anita Baker.
Oh, MG. That is not a whole different
Jill kid. Scott was good. Jill Scott
was
good.
You know what? Jill Scott actually, Jill Scott is,
y'all
don't
put Jill Scott and Anita Baker. Y'all don't put Jill Scott and Anita Baker against each other. That's crazy.
No.
Right,
it was accident. He's supposed to be playing Anita Baker, but Jill Scott's track played. So it wasn't a bad choice. It just wasn't what he was going to open with.
Okay.
But I'm like I said, Dexter was pleased because that's what we call his wife. His wife, Elena, is Jill Scott. And if they were doing a Lifetime movie of her, Jill Scott better play her because I can't see nobody else.
Yo, if y'all haven't seen that Woman King with Viola Davis, you better go watch it.
Oh,
where is
it
right now?
I gotta watch it again. It's on
Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Right now. Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it. Was it a good movie? Or is it just a movie? Right. I'm gonna be there watching Viola.
Well, fuck back people. Viola did her chisel. She did her thing in that shit. Therefore, I was like, dang. I'm scared of her, man. I'm true. She made me scared of certain women like that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. But check it out. Check it out.
I'm gonna check it out, bro.
Damn,
the rain coming down like a mug over here. I got the board back. They said your episode has ended. We're processing the audio now, and it will be available on your Blog Talk profile in a few minutes.
So we not being recorded right now?
You know what? I don't believe nothing that this Blog Talk lady said. We about to go ahead and do a quick cipher.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we going to do that one.
Okay.
I'm fine. I just don't have no faith in her. Hey, Tim, I tell you what. We're going to go ahead and have you start it off. Then I'll go, and then Jenna and she'll go ahead and cap us off. Is that all right with you, big bro?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
No, I love the spit.
Well, if somebody give me the mic, man, something.
I heard that. With that being said, yo, Tim, the mic yours, bro.
Well, tonight, I smoke the mic like crackheads smoke crack pipes. My bones will be cocaine residue in your ear. Scrape the earwax with a Q-tip and whip it hard so you can get another hit of what I'm saying. See, this shit, it'll make your eyes slit like them blunts in hell. Every night I spit changing the color tone in your gold fronts. See, I'm hungry for this shit, so I smoke mics like turkey wings, like Frank's hot sauce. I put that shit on everything. I'm a king, and the States is my kingdom. All I need is one mic. If you got more, then bring them. Don't be mad when it's your turn because I left the mic so motherfucking hot. Your hands burn. This is serious. This truth I spit to make you delirious. All liars should have a healthy fear of this. I'm sick, nigga, like I got HIV and doctors can't do nothing for me. I'm a hot invention, period. End of story, whatever the category. You young spitters will get me locked up for statutory because I rape these flows like promiscuous hoes. Start out the doze to even sleep because if you do when you awaken, nigga, your so-called spot going to be taken. I leave poets narcoleptic for testing. Kick rocks, nigga. That's what you best to do. I make it so hot, them niggas won't stand next to you. Them fuck niggas need to stop it, because I'm going to keep them haters in my back pocket like a wallet. This poetry is therapy, because I cook mics with no recipe, because I'm well-seasoned, breezing by niggas like a S55 on I-75, double-clutching on that fuck shit. No need to call the fire department. The fire retardant, I can't burn. Wait your turn. Stand in line before you drop a line. Pray to God your shit genuine, because mine is tougher than leather. Nigga, get your shit together. I'm stick with my pen. I have your girlfriend screaming at you like Apollo just beat up Rocky again, saying, you can't win. I'm nice with these poems, making my haters plot, so I stay walking the street with the best in the chrome, because my jewelry will stay rocky like Sylvester Stallone, making the room smoky, making the audience eyes water like they crying because the mic got slaughtered. This ass whipping was ordered by my DNA, and when it comes to smoking mic, all I got to say is, nigga, you got a light, whisper loudly.
That damn stork. Where is he? Why is he? My lover has been in labor for days. Does anyone care? Does anyone care for her or her offspring? What type of stork would do this heinous act with no mercy or no compunction? This stork chose this woman to give a child, ending a great friendship. Where is the humanity? Where is the investment? Where is the love and the compassion? This stork must be brought to justice, killed. This stork must be eaten and devoured so that none of its power remains, because the people's quest for happiness has inspired the stork's ire. And he bombards the masses with offspring to hinder the development of humanity. And the resulting action fractures the family into little shards of glass who we drink in goblets. These goblets filled with shards. Please drink responsibly. Boom.
So I'm going to do this poem one way I hadn't done in quite some time. There was two times in my life where they said I was cold, blue, and flatlined, but I didn't die. So I'm going to have to go foot to ass. Recently, the enemy has been testing me and pulling my card, making me remember that I'm soft-hearted but hard. Sick and tired of being sick and tired, fed up with those who tried it, tested me, trying to be a bully because they're stuck, yearning to be free. I was not aboard the Amistad. They had to set me free. And if I had been, I would have escaped. I would have been in my Malcolm X voice, taking care of business by any means necessary. Sometimes life is scary, and I learned to play in my infancy from my pimp-seeking grandfather. Sometimes the things that dudes would say to me really mad me about it. I had 2 strokes and a heart attack in 1 day, and I didn't die. And as long as I live, I wake up, I will glow up. Get dressed without stress. Be generous without any exception. Life is a celebration, and I'm here on purpose, not accidentally. Free from this moment to infinity. I'm here to listen first, and if possible, I might even share some poetry. Thank you.
Build up that small house right for there.
Small house. I've been doing this. Oh, my goodness, I wasn't ready. That was everything.
The blog talk lady, she tried it, and we wouldn't let her have it. Hell no.
I know.
Better go on, lady. Go on, sit down somewhere in the back of the office.
Oh. She would not let us be great. First, she wouldn't let us own. Then she wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, what was she doing? It was just too much. Oh, you lost the boards, and then they came back. That's just great.
Because she said, I can't make the niggers. I can't make the niggers leave. But I don't know what's going on here.
It's gonna be great. They didn't just get that. Get that through your head. We're gonna be great.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got some big things coming in.
Look at, we might not have done a piece about it, but we just like Tim Tebow. We melanated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got some big things coming up with Small House. You know, we got Rare Epiphany right after we have Wallace tomorrow. We got Rare Epiphany next Sunday. Sunday.
I heard that piece.
Thursday the 23rd, I'm being featured, Mike Wynn.
Yeah, that piece that Rare Epiphany did about the woman, oh, that was crazy, bro. I heard that, and I saw the video to it, too. Small house. Hell
she
yeah.
Needs Small House to do her video.
Ooh.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. really do. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
It is.
Wait till next month. Ooh.
Oh, Poetry Month is going to be sick and ridiculous.
Yeah, that's going to be. That's going to be lit. I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to write 30 poems for the 30 days of Poetry Month.
I
demand you be getting at least a B+ at school first, sir.
Yeah, yeah. I'm be sneaking.
You don't need some honorable like, grades up in this piece.
Yeah.
Right, writing on toilet paper, back of receipt. Yeah.
So where's Mr. Proctor? Where's Mr. Proctor? He's in the bathroom. God damn it. I knew it was words on the toilet paper. I didn't understand what's going on. I won't wipe my ass with a fuck word. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, I heard you earlier, Jared, when you said that shit, that line you said, if I didn't have a pen, I would write my poetry with my fingers and sparks. Would make purple rain turn to ink.
What the fuck was you thinking about? Oh, my God. That shit was fire.
You might be rubbing off on me. You and Gina might be rubbing off on me finally. It took a minute.
Yeah, I said, okay, Jared in his bag right there for sparks.
Up to the sun? The drip? Purple
sun.
Rain?
Yeah.
So it did barrels.
Oh yeah,
we went nuts on that prompt because we were like the only poets that didn't use blood.
I know.
I said it's too easy and too obvious. What's wrong with y'all? Oh, y'all don't know words. Oh, I forgot.
You know I don't do low hanging fruit.
No, we don't. We definitely don't.
No, man. We've been killing it with the Small House stuff though, man. We